The following program does not necessarily reflect the views of the staff or management of WFMD.
It's Success Happens on 930 WFMD, blending business and politics. Success Happens with your host, Jen Charlton.
Good morning and welcome to Success Happens. This is Jen, and it is so great to be with you guys. I love, love, love our weekends together. And I last weekend was quite a show, and we took on some interesting, I guess, controversial issues, as we are known to do. And one in particular is the notion of history and this idea of canceling history. You know, and as I said last week with Ken Davis, which was just a great show. If you haven't listened to it, go to the podcast and take a listen. But, you know, I wouldn't say a historian, but he is steeped in history. He's an attorney, the Constitution, and so forth. And, you know, one thing I said was, you cannot erase history. History just is. And this idea that we can erase the good, the bad, okay, we'll keep the good. Ditch the bad. Let's pretend it never happened. And, oh, by the way, we must not have learned from those mistakes, okay? So if we erase it, we can't learn from it. That's just crazy talk. So what I was struck by is this idea that we are trying to manipulate society and life into this altruistic kind of life where history is just the good stuff that we want to remember. And that just is, it's ignorant. And so, you know, one thing I'm sitting in my house and I get this email from Dear Frank, our producer here and head of production at WFMD. And he sends me an email from a gentleman from Harper's Ferry. Shout out to Harper's Ferry that he loved the show. And that he actually worked in the business of history and would love to talk with me further. So we had a great chat, and it became super duper clear to me that we should have him on the show with us today as a follow-up to last week's conversation, because it is so important that we do not delete history. So good morning and welcome to Success Happens, David Guiney.
Thank you.
Good to have you with us.
Love being here.
So, David, you know, one of the things as we chatted, I just learned more and more and more about you. It's like reading the pages of a history book. And the more you read, the more you understand and the deeper you go. And it's kind of you get all caught up in it. And you have a very diverse background in the field that you're in expertise. So you have a diverse background as principal and senior planner now of your own consulting practice. But your business has been for many years in historic, would you call it preservation or the planning of historic sites and making it possible for people like little me to go and learn about Gettysburg and Antietam or you worked on Pearl Harbor, right? Mm-hmm. So tell people a little bit about your background, because I think most people don't realize the work that goes into describing and informing people about history.
Well, Jen, I think as I might have described to you, I had a wonderful opportunity to spend most of my career with the National Park Service, starting as a ranger. Actually, before that, I collected the trash on the CNO Canal and cleaned the pit toilets. And
did start at the bottom.
Well, I did start it. I did, but I'm really...
Crawled your way up.
I did, but I'm really glad that I did. But I had the wonderful privilege of being able to get a job at our national Interpretive Design Center in Harper's Ferry, which many people are not aware of because there's no big sign saying come visit, you know, but it's in Harper's Ferry, and that's where a lot of where most of the brochures for the national parks were made.
Across the country,
the outdoor exhibits, which was sort of the main thing that I worked on when I was there, the museums, the historically furnished homes and historic structures, the motion pictures that you would see when you go to a park and go into the visitor center and go into the theater and get an overview. Just like I actually brought something here with me, and I know the radio audience can't see, but it's a movie that I'd really like for you to see sometime.
Oh, I love it. Thank you.
Independence National Historical Park. And most of our visitors really need to be able to sit down when they come to an historic site and get the big picture and the meaning and the significance of the sites. So through outdoor exhibit work and through indoor exhibit work, I landed a job where I got to see all of these sacred places, including the great natural areas like Yellowstone, Yosemite, those kind of things. But the important and sometimes small historic sites that document American history and be able to see those places where these amazing things happened. And as I explained to you, I can't take a lot of credit for that. I got that job, and I was sent out to all these places. But I'm sort of what you would call, in
a
way...
Hold on. You're selling yourself short. They wouldn't have hired you if you weren't good at what you did. You just got to get that that's an amazing opportunity because you were the right guy for the job.
My boss was Ray Price, who lived up near Braddock Heights, and he knew I had been a ranger, and he knew I had been an English teacher, and he needed a writer. But I also played the guitar, and Ray, who has passed away, bless his soul, Ray loved guitars. And when he found out I was a guitar player, it kind of got them interested in hiring me to be a media planner for the parks.
Isn't that fun? Well, you brought the creativity of a musician into that process. That's really great. Well, you know, I'm a musician. I don't know if you know that. I'm a jazz vocalist. I did play guitar for many years. I started with the cello. It was bigger than I was. I used to drag it behind me like Lionel's blanket, and I hated that thing. I just said, why can't I just play the flute? Like all the other girls, they play flute. I had to play cello that was bigger than I was in sixth grade, no less. And then, Robin, you're a guitarist, aren't you? Yeah, she's nodding her head. So you're in good company.
I walked into a radio station with guitars hanging on the wall, and I wanted to pick them up and start playing them.
There you go.
That's not.
Yeah,
our topic,
that's when the top security people come crawling out of the woodwork and haul you off.
Oh,
yeah,
okay.
WFMD, we're very mellow here, but so back to what you're saying about this involvement with the creation, what I hear is the experience of history, because we weren't there 200 years ago, but now your job is to recreate that experience to the best you can, I would assume, for somebody walking on a battlefield or going into a museum or a furnished, you know, home such as Monticello or so forth, right?
Right. So it'd be good for your audience to know that for many years now, since 1970 in Harper's Ferry, there's been a design center where these talented film producers and writers, historians, curators have been doing this. And some of them have come from Frederick, which is a feather in your cap.
There you
many
go.
Many of them love to live here. Some of the retirees, like me, I retired 10 years ago from the government work and now doing my own consulting work. But, you know, many are Frederick people, and it's kind of, they're sort of unsung heroes up there. Now, sometimes because I'm a conservative, and, you know, the Park Service is not a bastion of conservatives, okay? And partly because...
I would say history does not necessarily attract... when you're looking at university or educational systems, doesn't necessarily attract conservatives either.
No, so I was a little lonely in that respect, but I think we respected each other. I certainly respect all of those people who have done that work, often without any credit. I had a good friend who used to say she'd look around at the parks for my exhibits and kind of want to see my name on them. I said, my name was never on an exhibit.
You're anyway, called anonymous.
I'm behind the scenes. I'm behind the scenes doing stuff along with my colleagues. So I think it's nice maybe through this for your audience, your local audience, to understand that just about every brochure that any of your listeners have gotten from a national park has come from the professionals at Harper's Ferry Center.
That is a fun fact. They're tucked away nicely in Harper's Ferry, but what a cool place to be tucked away. And shout out actually to Frederick creative community, because there are some filmmakers here. I'm thinking of Carl Glorioso. We've had him on the show. There's a couple others who I've gotten to know. So we do have some creative sorts who choose to live in Frederick because of the culture here, I think. But, you know, of course, we have people listening all around the area, including Harper's Ferry and Southern PA. Shout out to Gettysburg. And, you know, so when we talk about the history of our nation, much of it, really important stuff, and it happened within an hour of us. right?
Mm-hmm.
So, and I also want to say this is an opportunity to give a shout out to John Fiesler, who's retiring.
Exactly.
From the as director of tourism here in Frederick County. What a great guy, what a great asset he's been to the community and frankly to the entire region in the business of tourism. I mean, he's been phenomenal. So hopefully he will continue in some other capacity in his contributions. So all that being said, and with that as a backdrop, I think it's important for us to start to look at this idea that, you know, wars happened. People died, horrific, painful deaths back in the day in Civil War time when they didn't have the luxuries of medicine that they do today, although we have the Civil War Medicine Museum that is an interesting place to go right here in Frederick City, another place. And one of the things I got out of our interview, and I think, you know, what prompted you to call me, reach out, was that Ken suggested that we all get in the car and do road trips to these various sites and really understand our history. Because you don't have to like history to understand and appreciate the lessons from history. And I know when I was a kid, I could have cared less about history because I was living in the moment. And I think too much today we live in the moment with this notion that we can ignore something that occurred in the past, even our own bad behavior. I mean, people need to be responsible for their choices. And if that's part of making history, there's a lesson to be learned from that. So we're getting all deep and philosophical. But you know, the other thing for me is that this idea that we should cancel. So right now, in the midst of this conversation, we learned, you know, I learned about this morning that Mayor Brandon Scott in Baltimore City has taken it upon himself to delete history by removing the statue of John O'Connell from Canton. Now, I don't know if John O'Connell was a good guy or bad guy. I don't actually, honestly, I don't really care. Is that maybe that's terrible for me to say, but I really don't care if he was a good guy or bad guy. He just was a guy. And you can't erase the guy. He happened. So whatever his contributions to this nation, this country, this city, this state were, the idea that we can ignore those is shocking to me. So can you shed some light on your thoughts as somebody who's been involved with history, been involved with these parks and these monuments, as to why on earth there's a justification for somebody feeling offended and removing a statue rather than just going, you know what, that guy did some things I don't agree with. Let's make sure that never happens again. Thoughts?
Well, it's a large subject and a controversial subject. And maybe I could throw out a little example that's nearby that I had some involvement with last year, year before last, was the Lee Equestrian statue at Antietam National Battlefield. I grew up on the battlefield, actually. I came from Sharpsburg, and so I'm quite familiar with all of that. But we had a statue over there that has a complex history, and I won't attempt to explain it here. And I think the park has managed this very well, the park superintendent and the interpretive rangers. We got together and put an exhibit in front of the statue because people would look at it and wonder, what's this doing here? Well, Robert E. Lee was the Confederate commander at Antietam, and the statue was not put there by the federal government. It was put there by a private individual who gave the land later to the Park Service. But it was vandalized during the summer riot period. The rangers would stand guard there over it. They had to put up a fence temporarily to guard it. But we went through an interesting process of me as sort of the writer of the exhibit. We also had my designer, Ruth Bilibaki, worked on the design work of it with the park. And so now when people drive up, they get the story of what this is, what it isn't, what the Park Service policy is about monuments. And I think the official policy, at least up to the moment, is that once monuments are established, we can't go in and take them down.
But they're doing it. So, I mean, Governor Hogan did it. Governor Hogan removed one a couple of years ago.
Well, this is a National Park Service regulation.
Okay, got that. So it could be different on state land, is what you're saying.
Right. The superintendent of the park, Susan Trail, gave us the statement that is the Park Service policy. And so they're, you know, trying to protect it. But in some cases, I know in the city of Baltimore, there's been statues that needed to be removed to protect them. So when an official takes a statue down, it isn't always to destroy it. It's to maybe protect it until it could be, you know, put back up again.
Well, that's a great point, and I think we can all see the value in that. I want to take a quick break for our sponsors. I want to thank Sweeties on the Creek. We're scooping now. And also check out some new wonderful hot chocolates and coffees and different fun sweet treats. I also want to thank Kira Wynn with KW Photography and Design, and she has done a phenomenal job for me with my websites and different things, and I'm just very, very pleased to be working with her. And then also Dianovich and Associates, a great security company hired to do private and corporate security. And we're going to take a quick break. You're listening to Success Happens on Free Talk 930 WFMD.
Hi, this is Dave Dianovich, owner of Dianovich & Associates, a global security company. We offer top security professionals with vast law enforcement and military experience on rapid deployment to protect property and lives. With the current climate in our communities, we continue to deal with widespread protesting that can turn violent. Our team is available to protect you, your family, your business, regardless of the coverage you need. Call us at 866-476-1703, or you can visit us at DEANOVICH.com. Our mission is your survival.
When was the last time you had fresh homemade ice cream? Sweeties on the Creek is making ice cream. Stop in and taste our fresh-made selections, including dairy-free and all-natural flavors. Enjoy a fresh cup of coffee with creamy shaker sundae. Taste a new fun flavor or an old yummy favorite. Sweeties, fresh-made from cow to cone. Sweeties on the Creek, just up from Market Street. We're scooping now.
Hi, I'm Nick Mira from Homeside Financial. Join me to get some Mortgage IQ on the Mortgage Minute. Now at my new time Saturday afternoons at 12:30 on 930 WFMD.
Welcome back to Success Happens. This is Jen, and I have with me today David Guiney, who is a principal and senior planner of his own consulting practice. It's called Interpretive Direction, and you specialize in helping the Park Service and other organizations, I guess, describe history so others can experience it fully. Is that an accurate way to do that?
I think so, yes. Okay. Through exhibits, signs and exhibits and videos. And
very interesting.
What we call interpretive media in the Park Service, and it's kind of a jargon word. It's an insider word, like you have your radio terms, you know, mm-hmm. that nobody understands. But it's
only Frank. He lives in that world.
Frank knows. I can
Frank
tell.
Frank knows everything.
Yes.
He's omnipresent.
But think of it as education. There are many rangers in the Park Service that are basically educational rangers. There are also law enforcement rangers. But our job is to help people to understand what they're looking at. And let me throw a little thing at you. You know, history is maintained, say, at the Smithsonian Museums in Washington, right? And there are wonderful objects in there, and they have things to explain them, videos and exhibits. But the thing about the national parks is that we, speaking as the Park Service, have the right things in the right place. And when Ken Davis talked about going to the parks, there's something magical about being in the place, say, where the Declaration of Independence was written, in the Graff House in Philadelphia, where it was signed, where it was proclaimed at the back of Independence Hall. And so think of the Park Service as that opportunity not to see objects brought into the middle of a big city where they really weren't significant at that place, but to see them in these special places. And I think also for those of us who love limited government and constitutional government, I think this can be energizing. And I think there's some energizing, Jen, that's needed right now.
Oh, my goodness. I agree with you. Well, and Robin and I often talk about we just need to get activated. We need to get people up out of their chairs, on their feet, marching wherever, because we've been so complacent and really not present to what's been eroding under our very feet. And I want to say something, first of all, as an acknowledgement to the work you and your colleagues do, is that you are meant to be anonymous. I mentioned that earlier, and invisible, because what needs to be at the foreground is the history and the experience of that thing which you are describing, not the who wrote it. So I really get that. Like, to the extent that you are in the foreground, you're actually in the way of something being experienced fully. Mm-hmm. So that's very cool. And, you know, a lot of times, that's hard to do. And so I never put thought to, I wonder who wrote this. You know, it never occurred to me. All the plaques I've read where my husband says, Jen, you don't have to read every word. Come on, let's go. And I'm like, wait. I want to read this.
No, you are who I was writing for.
Well, you got me.
You looked at the pictures, got annoyed, but read the text. Yes.
He's one of those guys who just blows through. He nods his head. It's like the movie Vacation where they look and he nods and they move on to the next.
That's
and look,
a classic
nod.
Scene. The Grand Canyon.
Right. It's so great.
That's called the threshold viewing experience. And I use that with my clients a lot.
That's really funny. Right. Yeah. And I think sometimes we just don't realize what we're missing by robbing ourselves of that full experience. But all that being said, we've had some interesting conversations about doing some trips and things, and that would be really fun to put some things together. I think we have a responsibility, and we the citizens, and even people who are visiting here who are not yet citizens, who wish to become citizens, you have a responsibility too, because whatever we've been through, and I say this all the time, whatever I've been through in my life makes me who I am today. And I've been through some tough stuff, but it makes me who I am today. I can't ignore it. I can't pretend like it never occurred. I have to deal with something, and it makes me a better person today. And when you look at, and I'm going to use a terrible analogy, but I think, you know, as horrific as slavery was, and by the way, we experience it today in human trafficking, but as horrific as that is, there are lessons to be learned from those experiences. And I actually know people who have been human trafficked. I've met them. I've talked to them. I've coached them. I've counseled them. I've hugged them. And when you go through something horrific and you come out the other side alive, you are a different human. And we as a nation need to go through, and it's actually very emotional to me, go through what we went through in history, acknowledge it, and be the better for it. But how dare politicians, on their grandstanding, take it upon themselves to delete our history, thinking they're in charge and they have that right, without regard for this is part of our history and we must become the better for it. And it's just something I'm so passionate about. So what do you think about that? I mean, I kind of got on my grandstanding high horse, but I'm just so disgusted with these politicians thinking that they have the right. They got 4 years. They got one term. They get two terms. Then they're maxed, hopefully. You know, then they move on. Next person in. Why do they think that their mark in history is to be somebody who took down a statue for some political point? It's disgusting.
You know, I think as speaking for our interpreters, our film producers, our writers, and our historians in our national parks and other historic sites, it's a great responsibility that we have, because we represent what happened in these special places to the public. And many times we're not seen. Okay? But I think as an individual, this sort of sinks in on you. Like, this is a strange thing, but I ended up in this job over at Pearl Harbor. And if you walked to the edge of Pearl Harbor, there was nothing to tell you what you were looking at or what happened here. And I was the one that got assigned the job to go over there and put some things at the edge of the harbor where you can look out and see the U.S. Arizona sunken and envision the Japanese bombers coming in. And it's really very much a moving thing, but it bears a lot of responsibility because you realize everyone that comes for that experience, you're narrating for them, or the media loves that term, the narrative, creating a narrative. So I'm being, you know, my job, my duty, and I had to take a constitutional oath when I became a federal employee to provide that in an honest and fair way and in a way that would engage the visitor in a way they could understand it. It was really, I come back to this, it's quite a privilege to be in this position. Same way at Francis Scott Key's grave here in town. John Fiesler and Chris Hall, another Frederick historian, brought us in to do that, too, so that people know this is where Francis Scott Key is buried with his wife. Underneath this monument,
it's a wonderful privilege. It's a wonderful experience to go there, and I really recommend everybody listening. We're going to go to a quick break, but you know, think about over the break. Where would you like to go? What is something you'd like to learn about that you think, I don't know about that? That would be interesting to learn a little bit about that, and start planning some ways to go and experience them, and then maybe you will be changed from that experience. And start to understand the importance of this history that that people are attempting to delete. You're listening to Success Happens. We're going to go for a quick break to news and weather, and we'll be right back. Welcome back to Success Happens. This is Jen, and I have with me today David, and it's so fascinating to talk to you about history, and it kind of spurs something in me to want to go and learn some more and things. And I'm thinking about Baltimore right now, and, you know, they have been – Baltimore's a mess. I mean, Baltimore's been a mess for decades. And, you know, here we've just gone through a new mayoral election, and of course, I worked in Baltimore, so I'm very familiar with Baltimore and its issues. But you know, you're looking at a city that has about 610,000 people. About 30% are on some form, almost 40%, some form of public assistance. So the city is in decline. It's really devastatingly destroyed economically. Furthermore, by this new mayor having shut down the businesses due to COVID, the restaurants just crushed the businesses, the local businesses. And so it's really despicable what's going on. And yet and still, in the last day or so, they're reporting that he has removed the John O'Connell statue in Canton. And, you know, one point you made earlier was, well, you know, there's two sides to this. They may be removing it because they're going to destroy it and it doesn't have a right to exist, or they may be removing it to protect it. I think in one instance, Hogan did that, removed it to protect it. What are your thoughts about, and I don't remember which statue it was from Hogan that he did. That was a couple years ago when all the riots were going on. But what is your thought about if they remove one to protect it, where do they put a statue? I mean, you know, where do you stick it? It's kind of big and bulky and heavy.
Well, I'll probably stay out of, you know, city business because I really don't know.
I'm actually asking from the standpoint of logistics. Where does one store statues when they remove them?
Well, that's a little bit beyond my experience. I can tell you something I do know about is over in Sharpsburg, where I grew up, there was always on the street corner where the Sharpsburg Pike comes in from Hagerstown, a stone block, a little stone block, that slaves were stood on and were auctioned off. It was a slave auction block. Now, sometimes these things are stories, and maybe they're not 100% true, but it's the legend, it's the tradition that it was that. It got vandalized this past summer, and it had to be removed to protect it from being destroyed. And something like that, you know, you can put it in a secure place. It's not, I mean, it's not easy to do, but these equestrian statues, I really don't know. I couldn't really say.
Kind of interesting. I mean, you wouldn't want to put it in your backyard, you know, among the roses or something. But
I don't think you would. The more important concepts behind this is, I think, what you mentioned before, the tendency to try to cancel the culture instead of learning what your culture has to say to you. And you're right. Sometimes these things that happen in life that are destructive and painful really are our major learning experiences. And we emerge from that better, even though we would say, I wish you didn't have to go through that. But I think we see that pattern again and again, that we and right now what we really want to do, I think, Jen, and I was impressed with one of the, I think it was pastors that you had on the air, that, you know, we get upset about stuff, you know, but he was saying, look, let's try to understand everybody's position in this and try to understand and be tolerant. And right now for conservatives, it's tough to be tolerant. You feel like you want to kind of fight back. So, and we, you know, we have to speak up, and that's important. But at the same time, you know, how can we, you know, bring everybody together again? And I think, you know, we should not be canceling our history. We need to be understanding it. And it's tough. It's because there's a lot of pressures on people. I think
there's also it triggers something. It's like, you know, we talk in psychology, emotional, mental kind of health, that people get triggered. I think what's happening is people are getting triggered by, you know, the conversation about slavery. And by the way, and I want to do, you know, a shout out to the show here, because I've been covering human trafficking for long before it became a national conversation. And I like to think that the work that we do on this show is important, because we do talk about those things that need to be talked about, that are terribly uncomfortable to talk about.
Right.
And this idea of human trafficking and the horror of it, you know, one thing I want to say is, we are making history right now. In our country, we are living the making of history right now. What occurred over the last 4 years to a president is unconscionable, because a group of people decided, or needed to, because otherwise they were going to jail, to cancel a president. That's outrageous by every measure of who we're made of and how we're designed. And yet they did it. And they pulled it off for the moment. Now the question is, will they pull it off forever? And we, the people, have a decision to make, whether we're going to allow history to be written in a way that is inconsistent with our founding fathers, our Constitution, and our Declaration of Independence. And that's the work right now that I'm doing on this show. And that's why it's so important to have that historical perspective from someone like yourself, David, who preserves history and expresses history for us in a way that we can experience it. And so I think it's important right now that we look at right now, what would this nation, reflecting back 200 years from now on this moment, what will they say about us? What will they say about us? And we're allowing history to be defined right now. So what have we got to say about how history is going to go? A little profound, right? Like, what do we say about how history is going to unroll and unfold here? Any thoughts?
To go to the political side, you know, take off my history education hat. I was watching this story of independence, that the people that visit Independence Hall and the Liberty Bell. This is something that was produced during the bicentennial. And something struck me in there is they had actually Eli Wallach representing Ben Franklin in this, coming back in time and visiting Philadelphia 200 years after the country was established. And the thing that stuck in my mind at that time, and again this morning, is this character of Franklin says, well, you have a republic if you can keep it. I don't know why that stuck in my mind. I you know, watched this that many years ago. And it referred to an enlightened electorate. And I think what we really have to guard for and try to encourage is honesty in media. And I believe that Americans are good and they're well-meaning if they know the truth, if they hear the truth, and if they hear both sides of the story.
Well, and here's an example of when that didn't occur, and you can't get political, but I will. So you know, when you look at the last election, one of the things that liberal mass media buried was Hunter Biden. Totally deep-sixed the entire issue around Hunter Biden as a pedophile. That's absolutely confirmed. I mean, I know people have literally seen the stuff on his laptop, and yes, it's his laptop. He signed for it. It's absolutely confirmed. They've got the emails. They've got the blah, blah, blah. It's his laptop. He's a pedophile. So we know that. We know that he is an addict. Okay, people are addicts. But, you know, even former presidents of the United States, children have had issues. That happens. Or relatives. That happens. But the fact that they were doing business with China got totally hidden from the public.
You see, it's not in history and in news, and I guess today's news is going to be tomorrow's history. People have to realize that it's not exactly what someone says, it's what subjects they bring up. And that's what I would
or
find
don't.
What I would go to national parks is I depend on the historians there and the park rangers and the professors to come in and explain this, and then, you know, we create, you know, what we think would be the best way to explain this. But there is so much in the concept of what stories am I not even telling. And sometimes minor stories, for sometimes political purposes, are made into more major stories. And we take away some of the impact of a major story at a site because we're made by political forces to talk about something else.
Well, we're going to go to a quick break, but I want to point to something. The idea of interpretive, you know, historians like yourself and others, you know, being invisible, is that also means your political view must be an invisible thing. It cannot be the filter through which this history is communicated, because otherwise it's tainted and it's manipulated. And in other countries, we call that propaganda. We're going to take a quick break. You're listening to Success Happens. I'd like to thank our sponsors, Sweeties on the Creek. We're scooping now. KW Photography and Design, Kara Winch, she does an awesome job with photography and graphics and website design. We'll be right back. When was the last time you had fresh homemade ice cream? Sweeties on the Creek is making ice cream. Stop in and taste our fresh-made selections, including dairy-free and all-natural flavors. Enjoy a fresh cup of coffee with creamy shaker sundae. Taste a new fun flavor or an old yummy favorite. Sweeties, fresh-made from cow to cone. Sweeties on the Creek, just up from Market Street. We're scooping now.
Hi, this is Dave Dionovich, owner of Dionovich & Associates, a global security company. We offer top security professionals with vast law enforcement and military experience on rapid deployment to protect property and lives. With the current climate in our communities, we continue to deal with widespread protesting that can turn violent. Our team is available to protect you, your family, your business, regardless of the coverage you need. Call us at 866-476-1703, or you can visit us at DEANOVICH.com. Our mission is your survival.
It's all about your car. Call in with questions to Dave Serio beginning in less than 30 minutes right here on 930 WFMD.
Welcome back to Success Happens. This is Jen, and I have the pleasure of having with me this morning David Guiney, who is the principal and senior planner of his own consulting practice called Interpretive Direction, based out of Harpers Ferry. And you were listening to the show and reached out, and I'm so glad you did, to be a part of this, because we're really moving this conversation forward, and you're such an important aspect of this, you and the people you work with, the industry in which you serve, which is history and national parks. So I think that, you know, one of the things to think about is that I often say art is a reflection of the culture in which we live. And art is a reflection of the culture in which it existed. You know, so if you look back to, you know, Renaissance art or all the different things, you know, that is a reflection of those times. And do you rip up the Mona Lisa? Do you, you know, do you delete some great work of art because you don't like it? I mean, I'm not an Andy Warhol fan. I think his stuff is atrocious. But guess what? It's art expression, and it's protected. So where on earth do they get off taking out history? That's just shocking to me. But I think that it's something to keep in mind as we go about this conversation, is that it's okay to reflect all of what we are in order to learn from it. I want to finish up the show because it's almost at the top of the hour, and it's really gone quickly with you, and it's so interesting. Where are a couple of places within an hour or two of driving that you would recommend people go in Pennsylvania, West Virginia? We've got Virginia. You could probably get to Ohio from here, not in a couple hours, but Delaware, anywhere in this Delmarva area. What would you suggest? Some of your favorites, or maybe lesser known that people wouldn't think of.
Well, if you got 15 minutes from the station here, I'd go over to Mount Olivet Cemetery and visit Francis Scott Key's grave and the exhibits that are there. And if you go look up Chris Hall, he might be over there. He knows. I mean, he's more of a historian than I am. I just report the stuff, you know. I'm not really a very good historian. Never had the memory for it, especially now that I'm getting older.
So if somebody has a really good memory, you have a future as a historian. Okay, and where else would you recommend people?
Okay,
go?
Well, what I'm really excited about now, since I've been talking to you this weekend, is Independence National Historical Park in Philadelphia. You and Ken were asking listeners to read the Declaration. I have to take a little quick break here, though. I came out of Walmart, and a lady was wearing a black T-shirt with We the People, and it was written in the same script as the original document. And underneath it was a line, I can't exactly repeat the way it was, but it said, We the People are angry. And I thought, well, maybe, you know, some people are, what are they angry about? They're angry about some of the things that you've spoken about on your program. But, okay, read, but it'd be a thrill to go up and see where all of these events happened. That would be the idea, like for a big, maybe get some folks together and maybe even bring your own historian, listen to what the Rangers say, see what's happening up there.
And compare notes.
And compare notes.
Left, right, and center.
And maybe, listen, those buildings were loaded with debate. They really were.
It's part of the process of making us great. You got to be able to debate.
Well, yeah. And
you can't shut people down. They're trying to do that now. And yeah. That, back to something we were talking about on the break, is that's communism. That's what, you know, I knew early on, and we've been covering socialism, communism here now for a year and a half, maybe, with Peter Husey and some of the guys that I bring in who are consultants and experts in China and Iran and some of these different things. But the notion of communism is to shut down communication. You're not allowed to speak your ideas. So they said, well, we're on the road to socialism. Oh, no, we bypass socialism. We're straight to communism. Do not pass go. So when you look at that, back to what you're saying, the debates that occurred in the creation of our great nation, they grappled with stuff.
They did, and they risked their lives. Not everyone really understands that, but they were confronting authority, the King of England, and they could have all been hanged. And they had property, right? They had property and farms, and, you know, they had a certain amount of wealth, but they put their lives on the line. Independence National Historical Park, Antietam Battlefield.
I love the lights parade when we go up there. The first Saturday in December is awesome.
The luminaries. And you realize...
Takes your breath away, really.
What people suffered at that time over some of these issues that we're still dealing with now. Fort McHenry in Baltimore.
I've never done Fort McHenry. I want to do that.
Well, yeah. We ought to put... I'd love to see a little group go together and go down there. And
that'd be really fun. That would be really fun. I think we'll try and put that into existence in maybe the early spring, hopefully by the time all this COVID nonsense is over. So anyway, I want to just say thank you, David. We are going to wrap up, and I want to have you back. We will talk about these things as we go along because we want to keep history alive and well, and we want to attend to we are history in the making right now, guys, and we have to be willing to put our lives, our truth, our liberty on the line for something greater than ourselves. And I just thank you for being here and helping us presence that for everyone. I want to thank you guys, all you listeners online, on air, from local and around the country. We have some followers in England even. I just thank you so much for being a part of Success Happens all these years and the opportunity to be here on WFMD. So have a great week. I look forward to speaking with you perhaps from the road next weekend at an exciting event. So stay tuned on that. You're listening to Success Happens on Free Talk 930 WFMD. Thanks to our sponsors, Sweeties on the Creek, We're Scooping Now, KW Photography and Design, and Dianovich and Associates. And we will talk to you next Saturday morning at 9 a.m. on Free Talk 930 WFMD. Have a great week.
Coronavirus crisis.
It appears students generally support the policy announced last week by Rutgers University, mandating students be vaccinated before a return to the classroom in the fall. President of Rutgers University Student Assembly said in a statement that the mandate is, quote, the right move. The student paper also published an op-ed Monday expressing support, but some students have reservations, raising concerns about safety of the COVID-19 vaccine, health privacy, and the distinction drawn between students and staff. Faculty and staff are only strongly urged to get the shot, not mandated. Here's sophomore Stephanos Eugenius.
Put it simply, it's a double standard, and it doesn't make sense. It's faculty, they're older than us, so they're more susceptible to the virus. So for them to mandate for us and not for the faculty doesn't make much sense.
New Jersey ranks 20th in the nation for having fully vaccinated roughly 16.5% of the population. Governor Phil Murphy set a goal to vaccinate 70% of the population by July. Lydia Hu, Fox News.
Hey sports fans, it's time to discover a new way to bet with Bet Rivers Sportsbook. Bet Rivers offers an in-game live betting experience that's second to none. When the game starts, the betting action really begins with loads of in-game betting options, including instant betting. Plus, Bet Rivers Sportsbook offers live streaming of matches from around the globe. Bet on the game while you watch it, all in one place. Download Bet Rivers Sportsbook or go to BetRivers.com today. Must be 21. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Playable only in states where Bet Rivers is licensed. And in New Jersey at Playsugar House.
I'm Rocky Moselle with StarRegistry.com. Since we were children, we've been told to reach for the stars. It was great advice. Now it's a great gift. Name a star after someone. For $54 and a call to 800-282-3333 or visit StarRegistry.com, we will name a star after someone very special to you and send an incredible personalized gift. The new star name will be recorded in book form in the U.S. Copyright Office. Call the Star Registry, 800-282-3333 or visit StarRegistry.com for the hottest gift.
930 WFMB Sports Update.
From the Fox Sports Studios in Los Angeles, here's Brian Fenley.
Justin Rose heads into the weekend as the leader at the Masters, a 7-under overall score through two rounds following a 72. Today, Will Zalatoris and Brian Harman are right behind, a stroke behind at 6-under. Jordan Spieth is right there at 2 shots back. Phil Mickelson made the cut at 3-over, which was the cut line. And Dustin Johnson, Rory McIlroy, Patrick Cantlay, and Brooks Koepka are some of the notable names you will not see during the weekend. Meantime, According to NFL Network, the Raiders ink their first or their former first round draft pick, a defensive back Carl Joseph. Clippers guard Patrick Beverly had surgery today on a fractured bone in his left hand. He is sidelined 3 to 4 weeks. And the Clips are going to rest Paul George and Rajon Rondo tonight in their matchup against the Rockets.
News Radio 930.